Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is Pat Iyer, and welcome to Legal Nurse Podcasts. I have with me today Greg Williams, who is the master negotiator and body language expert. Greg is an expert in negotiation and reading body language signals and skills that people need in order to function in their business, in their life, and in all aspects of interacting with other people. Greg has experience as a speaker, as a commentator on TV, and as an author. I first met Greg in 2008 at the National Speakers Association New Jersey chapter, and I very quickly realized that he has a lot to share with any audience who's concerned with being effective when it comes to communicating with other people and negotiating. Greg and I collaborated on a book called Body Language Secrets to Win More Negotiations, How to Read Any Opponent and Get What You Want. So, Greg, thank you so much for being part of our program, and I'd like to start by asking you a couple questions.
Well, first of all, thank you, Pat, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Well, tell me, Greg, how did you get interested in negotiation?
Oh, Pat, practice. No, seriously speaking, to a degree, I came to realize at a very early age that we can get more from any effort that we undertake as a result of being able to negotiate better. I constantly saw my mother, my grandmother negotiating for every little advantage that they could squeeze out of an opportunity, and even to the point that I was embarrassed at sometimes by the fact that they would constantly ask for a better deal, ask for more of whatever was the current offering. My mother told me at one time, "It's your money. The further it goes, the more you'll have." And I never forgot that lesson, and thus, me always wanting to assist people in improving their lives meant if I could negotiate better, I could assist them in doing more in their lives, and I could also obtain more in my life.
Well, I know that negotiation is a significant part of the role that a legal nurse consultant plays when interacting with clients. And they may be interacting in person or over the phone. Let's think about a legal nurse consultant who gets a call from an attorney who is attempting to negotiate fees or turnaround time. What signals should that nurse listen to or listen for when talking to an attorney over the phone?
Well, she or he can gain valuable insight just from the first few words that the attorney actually speaks. For example, Pat, "Hi, is this Pat Iyer?" versus,
"Hello, is this Pat Iyer?"
Those two demeanors and the way that that individual represented himself with that example says one person, the first, is in more of a hurry. Thus, that person could also be given clues to the fact that just through the verbiage and the manner in which he used such, that he was in a hurry to secure the services of a legal nurse consultant, and thus might be more open to compromising more per the concessions he or she would have that attorney make. In the latter situation, the deep voice, let's say the legal nurse consultant also had insights per having dealt with this individual before, that the deep voice was not the normal tonality that the attorney used in prior situations. If that's the case, the deep voice could be indicating the setting just as a result of the opening of picking up the phone, the fact that the attorney was going to be the authority figure. in that particular situation. So much information is gleaned from just the openings of a conversation, be they in or on the phone or in person, and thus that legal nurse consultant should be very attuned from the moment that he or she answers the phone. Now, Pat, here's something else about that aspect also. If by chance the situation catches him or her off guard, and thus the legal nurse attorney is unprepared to address whatever the offering might be, whatever the request might be from that attorney, it would behoove the individual to actually say, "May I call you back in a few minutes?" You can do that when you gather some information from the attorney per what he or she is seeking, and then decide how you're going to address it. The point is, don't rush head on into something simply because, "Oh, I need this opportunity. Here's the opportunity to fall in my lap right at this particular time." No. You need to reflect upon how you're going to answer before you start answering.
You know, that's a really interesting point, and I just wrote a newsletter about this issue when the attorney calls and says, "Are you available to work on my case?" One response could be, "Well, I'm not doing anything right now, so I'd be happy to." As opposed to, "Well, let me put you on a brief hold and see if I can check my availability and if I can fit you in." What are those two signals telling you?
Huh. Boy, oh boy, a whole lot. The first one, "I'm not doing anything right now. Ha! Huh, let me see if I can." The second one, "Let me check my schedule and see if I can fit you in." You're positioning yourself at that time. Number one, you never want to position yourself such as, "I'm not doing anything right now. Sure, I can do it." Number two, in so doing, you could be leaving monies on the table that you otherwise could get. It sends the signal of, like you literally said, "I'm not doing anything. Boy, I'm not that important. Nobody else wants my time, so hey, you can have it." For an astute attorney, as soon as he would hear someone say, he or she would hear someone say, "Well, you know, I don't have anything else going on right now," I'm telling you right away, if I was hypothetically going to offer you $100,000 to work on my case or my situation, I would immediately drop that and cut it in half. In half. And thus, you have positioned yourself by saying you don't have anything to do at that particular point in time from a disadvantaged perspective, from which to even negotiate further. Let's look at the second scenario. Let me check my schedule to see if I can fit you in. You're sending the nonverbal signal of, "Hey, I'm busy. I have stuff going on. I may be able to allocate the appropriate time, and thus, don't try to negotiate with me. Don't try to lowball me. Bring your best game." You're saying all of that just through the gesture that you are implying about, "Let me check my schedule and see if I can fit you in." So when we're talking about negotiation, my motto, first of all, is you're always negotiating. That which you do today influences tomorrow's activities or the next moment's activities, and you always have to be concerned about how you position yourself, such as to be positioned properly for the situation that you are negotiating in. And as soon as you answer that phone, you are negotiating.
Well, I think the first cousin to positioning is leverage. How do you use leverage to affect a negotiation?
Well, first of all, that cousin needs to be kept very close also, because one gains leverage and or loses it in situations whereby one is not paying attention to body language signals, nonverbal gestures that are made such and so forth and so on. You can gain leverage by understanding. Let's revert back to the two situations that you just mentioned a moment ago. You've started gaining leverage when you said, "Let me check my calendar to see if I can fit you in." The leverage aspect there is, again, "I'm busy. I may be able to fit you in, but it's not going to be a situation where if you lowball me, I'm going to allow you to come into my domain by providing the services that you're seeking from me. So there's one example right there also of how you are literally gaining leverage in a situation. Another way that one can go about gaining leverage is to fully understand to what degree you are important to that particular attorney. Now, you have to have that level of insight, such as to know and understand where there may be pain points or points of pleasure. For what reason does the attorney want to reach out and talk with you to have you possibly engage in his particular situation, his or her particular situation? If you know that, you also get insights as to where you can utilize leverage. Let's say, for example, you are a well-known LNC, and as such, you have a following, and this particular attorney wants to work with you because of that following. Well, therein lies your points of leverage. Let's say you're a new person in the field, and that attorney wants to give you some type of opportunity such that, for whatever reason, he or she can pull you along, point you out as somebody that he or she has helped in obtaining more business, etc., etc. Again, you have some form of leverage, but it comes from understanding what those points are that causes one person to want to engage with you.
I know that sometimes you have to give in or concede points with attorneys, and attorneys are wired to win, particularly trial attorneys. That is what fuels them. That's how they see their mission, is to represent their client the best way they can. How do you know when to concede points in order to succeed in a negotiation?
Ask the question. Now, that's simplistic. But what that means is, you spoke about attorneys being wired to win. You could literally say something along the lines of, can you tell me what it is that the meaning of win has to you? And the attorney gives you her perspective of what that means. That attorney has also given you her mind map per at what points and times you might have to concede in order to allow her to believe she's winning. And let's admit it, winning is a frame of mind. I can walk out with 51% and I can consider myself having won that particular situation. I can walk out with 35% having considered myself as winning in that situation, because prior to entering into it, I expected to walk away with 25%. So if you get my perspective, first of all, of what the outcome is that I am expecting, and then you thus know how to, and then you thus know how to make concessions as you go along the continuum that you are on to reach an outcome. Here's something else too, Pat. Per winning and also per making concessions, always do so slowly. That's to say, make concessions slowly. And you can use time if you know there's a time pressure upon the attorney to find someone with your particular skill sets to literally drag out the negotiation. And the longer you keep that person involved, the fewer concessions you'll have to make by making that individual use up his or her time as he or she invests that with you. Here's one other aspect of concession, about making concessions. The longer someone is involved in a negotiation, the greater psychologically they want to see a conclusion to the negotiation. Thus, the more they are apt to make concessions as they invest more of their time. They want some return on the investment of time that they've made. So keep all those aspects in mind when it comes to making concessions and how to go about doing so.
What happens when the legal nurse consultant is negotiating with an attorney and there are no good choices? What can be done then?
Punt. And I say that somewhat in jest, but at the same time, hey, everybody that knocks on your door is not going to be beneficial to you. If you sense early on that there are no good options for you, don't engage in it. In investing your time, get out of the situation as quickly as possible. Something else could be blocked from coming into your environment simply because you're wasting time in this particular situation. Get out of it. Get out of it. And thus, never place yourself in a position, even mentally, that you have to have a deal no matter what. That can be the death knell for you and for your business if you engage in such an endeavor and allow the attorney to control you and the future business opportunities that you have. If a deal is bad and you sense it, get out of it. And here's one other thing too, Pat. From a body language perspective, pay attention to your gut. Pay attention to what you are experiencing from a body language perspective per the possible engagement that you may enter into in any entity, in any environment. If all of a sudden you get a feeling like, oh, something's not right, something just doesn't feel right, pay attention to that. You are intuitive by nature. And if you get that sensation and you experience it thus in your stomach, let's say in your heart even, understand you're receiving that sensation for a reason. The reason is be cautious, be careful. Our bodies are always trying to protect us and thus adhere to that signal that you receive.
It made me think about an attorney that I visited in his office one time. There was no receptionist. The chairs in the waiting area were dusty. And he brought me into this back room that was literally heaped with paper, loose paper on the windowsill, on the floor, on the desk. He was an attorney representing a defendant, and he was asking me questions about the medical records and where the bullet went in and where it came out. And I remember looking around his environment thinking, this man is not right. There's something wrong. I wanted so desperately to get out of there. Actually, the only time I've been fearful for my safety. And I should have turned around and walked out after I saw his office, but you're right. My body was screaming at me, what are you doing in this room with this disheveled, cluttered environment?
And what became of that situation, Pat?
Well, I gave him what he wanted. He paid me, and I never asked him for more business after that. He got dropped from any marketing efforts.
Interesting. See what I mean by you're always negotiating? And here's something else, too. Let's go back to the positioning aspect of that situation. He positioned himself even badly from the perspective of dust on the chairs. Hey, nobody's in here a whole lot. Papers all over the place. Oh, yeah, I'm not even keeping up with a whole lot of things, or I may not be keeping up with anything, a whole lot of things. Also, from the perspective of not even having a receptionist or anything, hey, I'm in this all by myself. Help, 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 help. I'm sinking. In a situation of that nature, let's say he had, again, I'll go back to that $100,000 figure, he had $100,000 to actually invest in someone with your high level of skills to come into the system. You see in that environment, you could immediately say, hey, look, I could do it. Maybe I could do it for $150,000. And he says, $150,000? You go, okay, $175,000 then. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. He positioned himself badly all the way around, and those feelings that you had told you in this case, oh, alert, alert, alert. So anyway, be cautious to what degree you sense things and you are motivated to take action and or not take action.
I wanted to go on to another point. Attorneys are, in general, very articulate. They've been trained to marshal their arguments, to paint a story, to describe a situation in words that juries can readily understand. They use power words to make their points. And I'd like you to give us some insight about what are the power words that a legal nurse consultant can use in a negotiation.
Well, the first thought that came to my mind as you were speaking was, we can do that, depending upon the size that you wanted to represent your organization as having. And we can do that could mean that you are going to bring other LNCs into the environment. But nevertheless, if you want to appear to be big, it's we can do that. As opposed to, well, I can try. And that word try implies oh, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But psychologically speaking, even when we're talking, we're also speaking to our subconscious mind. So even when we say we're going to try something versus I will do such and such and so and so, we're giving ourselves permission to not make that full-hearted effort that might be required to get a task completed. And thus, even when we convey our sentiments to the lawyer, knowing that he or she is truly outcome-based, as trained as you spoke of a moment ago, we have to make sure we use the words that match up to the way that person is representing her thoughts. Also, talking about matching up words, that attorney uses such words as, and I want to make sure I have enough insight to beat the heck out of that person, because in order for me to win, we've got to beat the other side down. And no, there are no ambiguities about the fact that we need to win by beating down. So the attorney keeps using that word, beat, 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 beat. The power word in this case becomes beat, as the example that I just cited. And thus, power can be conveyed in, well, yes, my team and your team will join forces such that we are able to beat that other side, and we will make sure that they know they can't win because we will beat them into submission. That becomes the power word. Power words can shift. Like I said a moment ago, I will try versus I will is one source of power. But using the words that another person uses to represent their thoughts also becomes very powerful as you subliminally manipulate them for the positive towards the goals that they seek to achieve by adding you to their team.
The last area I wanted to explore with you, Greg, is triggers. What are triggers, and how do they affect a negotiation?
Triggers put one in a state of mind whereby one can be civil, non-civil, or one can also use it for positioning. Pat, hey, how are you doing today? Okay, look, hey, Pat, look, I only have a few minutes, but I need to find out if you can help me with this. Please get back to me right away. The trigger there is the urgency of time. How does Pat react to a request that is time sensitive? If Pat knows that she does not respond well, and I use that as a trigger, I may be hurting myself per leaving a message in the manner that I just did. Let's say we also know that Pat becomes very, intimidated as the result if she and I are face to face of me standing too close to her. And I want to intimidate her. I can use the closeness of our proximity to serve as the trigger to make Pat become somewhat more submissive if that were my mission, if I knew that was a trigger. So triggers can come in the form of verbal and nonverbal manners, but even more so from a positive aspect, if I know I need Pat to help me write a book, as an example, because I know Pat's skills are so dynamic, I'm going to use the trigger of being very nice to Pat, whatever nice means to her. So I'm going to understand what that source of motivation is that I'm going to use by asking Pat and observing Pat in action as to how to go about projecting niceness to her. Triggers can make or break a deal. The way you utilize them in a negotiation will also determine to what degree the negotiation will flow effortlessly or there will be troubles in the negotiation simply because, well, I tell you what, Mr. Attorney, I'm just as important as you are, and therefore, you will respect me. Okay, now that's confrontational, but the trigger that sets off in the attorney is, oh yeah, really? Let's see then, buddy, click up, or I'll call somebody else, or whatever be the case. Let me note one other quick thing too, Pat. Even as I went through that example, I put my hands on my hips, and it was not intentional. It was just a natural reaction, and I say that to say, observe body language when you're talking to people in person also. I literally put my hands on my hips to say, okay, move me, why don't you? You know, and that was unintentional, that's to say, from a thought process perspective, but even when we're talking about body language, being able to read body language will give you so many clues into the mindset of the person to whom you're speaking with without even that person knowing that you're gaining extra insight per him or her emitting certain signals.
I know that one of my triggers is I get angry when I'm interrupted. And I can envision situations when attorneys have called me to talk about an invoice, always that it's too large, never that it's too small. And they're blowing off steam and they're angry. Also, invariably, a male. I have to say I got more phone calls from angry men than angry women. But when the angry attorney starts steamrolling over me and interrupting me and not allowing me to make anything, any kind of a statement or respond, after I've given that attorney ample chance to blow off the steam, explain why he's upset, listen, not interrupt, and then it's my turn to talk, and he starts interrupting, I can guarantee you that that will cause my blood pressure to rise.
Okay.
So that's my personal trigger, and I know that I have to watch for it because I can become incensed, and I don't get angry easily. It takes a lot to get me upset, mm-hmm. but when somebody is mm-hmm. constantly interrupting me, and I'm pounding my fist with my open hand, Greg, see if we mm-hmm. talk about body language, then mm-hmm. that's enough to really get me going. And that would affect a negotiation because at that point, I don't want to listen anymore. I don't want to interact with somebody who's interrupting me. And I want to just put the whole thing on hold and say to him, let's calm down. Let's revisit this when we can converse about this in a non-agitated, upset way.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Pat, it's interesting and very good that you recognize that aspect of you being a trigger that can send you in a wrong direction. It's always good for people to understand their own triggers such that they're on guard against those triggers taking over their emotional state of mind. And to that point, there are things that you can do to combat someone that knows that's a trigger that will set you off, as it were. As an example, once you even, well, first of all, knowing that it's a trigger, you can combat it by stating, I am not going to get upset if this person continuously cuts me off. That's one aspect you could go to. The other aspect is you could say to the person, I've been respectful, and thus I have not cut you off. Please grant me the same manner of respect the return. And notice the way I said that, Pat. You know, with the paced speech, also delivering it very deliberately, such as to convey the seriousness of all of this. Now, if the other person were then to say, well, you know, to hell with you. Or if they were to say, okay, well, I'll try to be more observant of my behavior, I apologize. Therein lies a whole different aspect as to where you have changed that person's perspective of you, and thus that person is indicated as such that, hey, I value you, and I will try not to violate this covenant that you and I just entered into. That's a good aspect that you have thus utilized, and in so doing, Pat, you asked about leverage before, you've gained a little more leverage than you had before. And I say that to say, respect in any environment has to be a two-way street. And I would also suggest, to the degree that one feels respected, one can return respect. A trigger that says, I'm not being respected, damn it, I'm going to go about gaining some, so watch my attitude change now, is nothing more than confrontation waiting for a place to happen.
Greg, these have been such great points. I know that they are valuable to the people who are listening. How can they learn more about you?
Well, I can be reached at www.themasternegotiator.com. I can also be reached via phone at 609-369-2100 and through Greg, that's G-R-E-G, at the, T-H-E, master, M-A-S-T-E-R, negotiator, N-E-G-O-T-I-A-T-O-R, .com. And my mission in life is to give back to others such that they can do the same thing and make the world a better place.
And remember, you're always negotiating.
That was going to be my close. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Greg. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Pat.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.